Hi, this is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com. Welcome to this week's Just the Tip episode of the Speaking of Sex podcast. On the Just the Tip episodes, we share with you an excerpt from one of our favorite books or resources about sexuality, and then offer you a challenge to put into play into your own life. This week, I am going to be sharing with you an excerpt from the book Getting the Love You Want by Harville Hendricks. This is a classic relationship book. It first came out in 1988, and it's a massive New York Times bestseller. Harville Hendricks now works with his wife, Helen, and they have created a whole system of relationship therapy called Imago Therapy. And they're still hard at work offering couples support for more loving relationships. So in this book, he offers several exercises for couples, and I'm going to start by sharing one of these exercises with you, reading through how to do this exercise, and then I'm going to read some of his commentary on why the exercise works and some of the roadblocks couples run into as they're trying to put this practice into play. So he calls this exercise re-romanticizing, and it is designed for couples to share specific information about what pleases them and how they feel loved and how they feel appreciated, so we can give our partners more of the love that they want. The first step in the process is to identify what your partner is already doing that pleases you. Get out separate sheets of paper and complete this sentence in as many ways as possible, being specific and positive and focusing on items that happen with some regularity. I feel loved and cared about when you dot, dot, dot. Some examples might be fill my coffee cup when it's empty, kiss me before you leave the house, massage my back, tell me you love me, ask me if I want a treat from the store. Those kinds of things, these daily gestures. Step 2. Now recall the romantic stage of your relationship. Are there any caring behaviors that you used to do for each other that you are no longer doing? Fill out this sentence. I used to feel loved and cared about when you dot dot dot. Some examples might be brought me flowers, held my hand as we walked, called me up on the phone to say how much you loved me, made love more than once a day. Step 3, think about some caring and loving behaviors that you have always wanted but never asked for. These may come from your vision of a perfect mate or from prior experience. They may be very private fantasies. Whenever possible, quantify your request. Complete this sentence. I would like you to... dot, dot, dot. Examples. Take a shower with me. Massage me for 30 minutes without stopping. Buy me some jewelry. Sleep in the nude. Step 4 is now combining these three lists and indicating how important each caring behavior is to you by writing a number from 1 to 5 beside each one. A 1 indicates very important, a 5 indicates not so much. And then you exchange lists and you examine your partner's list, and the goal is to do at least 2 of these behaviors each day for 2 months. Starting with the ones that are easiest for you, and then moving down the list. So that is the exercise, the re-romanticizing exercise. So to summarize, it is writing down sentences about what makes you feel loved and cared for, what your partner used to do that they no longer do, and things you desire and have never asked for. And then you try to do those things for each other. Sounds pretty simple, right? Well, here's what he says about the exercise. So he says, why is this simple exercise so effective? The obvious reason is that through daily repetitions of positive behaviors, the brain begins to perceive the partner as someone who nurtures me. Painful injuries are overlaid with positive transactions. This opens the way for intimacy, which is only possible in a context of pleasure and safety. He goes on to say, there are other more subtler reasons that exercise works so well. One is that it helps people erode the infantile belief that their partner can read their minds. During romantic love, people operate out of the erroneous belief that their partners know exactly what it is they want. When their spouses fail to satisfy their secret desires, they assume that the spouses are deliberately depriving them of pleasure. This makes them want to deprive their partners of pleasure. The re-romanticizing exercise prevents this downward spiral by requiring couples to tell each other exactly what pleases them, decreasing their reliance on mental telepathy. Sounds pretty good to me. He also says, when couples take part in the re-romanticizing exercise, they are instructed to pleasure each other on an independent schedule. They dole out a prescribed number of caring behaviors a day, regardless of the behavior of their partners. This replaces the natural tendency to hand out favors on a quid pro quo basis. You do this nice thing for me, and I'll do that nice thing for you. Most marriages are run like a commodities market, with loving behaviors the coin in trade. But this kind of love does not sit well with the old brain. If John rubs Martha's shoulders in the hope that she will let him spend the day going fishing, a built-in sensor in Martha's head goes, "Look out, price tag attached. There's no reason to feel good about this gift because I'll have to pay for it later." Unconsciously, she rejects John's attentions because she knows that they were designed for his benefit, not hers. The only kind of love that her old brain will accept is the kind with no strings attached. I will rub your shoulders because I know you like it. The back rub has to come as a gift. We want to be loved and cared for without having to do anything in return. When our partners grant us caring behaviors independent of our actions, our need for unconditional love appears to be satisfied. He also emphasizes it's important to know exactly what kind of love your partner wants and to break the golden rule, which is something we hear at Pleasure Mechanics talk about as well. Instead of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, you find out what exactly your partner wants and you give them that, not what you're craving, which is a mistake a lot of people make in and out of bed. And finally, he goes on to say that some people meet this exercise with a certain amount of resistance. And I want to read you a few little sections from that chapter because I think it's important because, you know, this exercise sounds really simple, but it can actually be really hard to give and receive so many gestures of caring and of love. So he says, like any exercise that leads to personal growth, this simple exercise is often met with resistance. A certain degree of resistance is to be expected. When a husband and wife have been treating each other like enemies for 5 years, it's going to feel strange to start writing love notes again. The exercise is going to feel artificial and contrived, which of course it is. And to the old brain, anything that is not routine and habituated feels unnatural. The only way to lower this automatic resistance to change is to repeat a new behavior often enough so that it begins to feel familiar and therefore safe. A deeper source of resistance to the exercise, however, is a paradoxical one, the fear of pleasure. On a conscious level, we go to great lengths to seek happiness. Why should we be afraid of it? To make sense of this reaction, we need to remember that the sensation of being fully alive is deeply pleasurable. When we were young children, our life energy was boundless and we experienced intense joy. But this vitality was limited and redirected in order for us to be social beings. Our pleasure was curtailed so that we could be safe and conform to social norms, and also so that we would not threaten the repressed state of our caretakers. As these limits were imposed on us, sometimes in punitive ways, we began to make the unlikely association of pleasure with pain. If we experienced certain kinds of pleasure, or perhaps a high degree of pleasure, we were ignored, reprimanded, or punished. On an unconscious level, this negative stimulus triggered the fear of death. Eventually, we limited our own pleasure so that we could reduce our anxiety. We learned that to be fully alive was dangerous. There's a lot in there, huh? But he talks about the importance of being willing to open up to higher and higher levels of pleasure and receiving care and receiving love from our partners. And I think this is really important because as we talk about a lot here at Pleasure Mechanics, you can only receive as much love as you are capable of receiving. Often our partners are willing to give us more pleasure, more arousal, more orgasms, more love than we are actually capable of receiving. And so a lot of the practice of upping the pleasure in your life and upping the orgasmic arousal in your life is a practice of being willing to receive more. And this exercise is really great for that because it challenges you to name the specific kinds of pleasure and love you are willing to receive. And that can be as simple as, will you go to brunch with me every Sunday? Or it can be as big as, I want an erotic massage for an hour. Are you willing to give that to me? Or I would like to experience more cunnilingus. Can you do that for me? And you'll be surprised at how often the answer is yes, absolutely. I'd love to give you those forms of love and of pleasure now that I know you're willing to receive them. And then, of course, the challenge is actually receiving them as they are offered. So we will post this exercise on the show notes page for this podcast episode, which is episode 191. And you can find that over at pleasuremechanics.com. Just hit the podcast button at the top of every page. And I challenge you to put it into play. Sit down with your partner, write out your lists, and then try to give each other one or two gestures of love and care every day for a couple months. And see what happens. Are you willing to see what that would do for your relationship? Because it might just have a really big effect. And in the excerpt, he mentions couples that have been at war with each other for 5 years. You do not have to wait for it to get that bad before you put exercises like this into play. In fact, if you can start doing exercises like this when your relationship is still good and is still positive and you're still really loving on one another, that is all the better because then you're going to prevent a lot of conflict and a lot of relationship breakdown before it even starts to accumulate. So give it a try. Let us know how it goes and be in touch with us over at pleasuremechanics.com. We love to hear from you. I'm Chris from Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure. Cheers.